This episode is brought to you by Kluso. Are you tired of spending countless hours producing software videos and writing help documentation for your customers? What you need is Kluso. Simply upload a rough screen recording of your product. Kluso will instantly transform it into a studio quality explainer video and a step-by-step how-to article. Kluso handles all steps of the video production process, from writing your video script to generating a professional AI voiceover. It adds stunning zoom effects, highlights, and branding to your videos too. You can also translate your content into over 30 languages in just one click. And if your videos ever go out of date, there's no need to remake them from scratch. Kluso makes it super easy to replace outdated clips and voiceovers. 10x your video production speed today at kluso.io. That's kluso.io.
Welcome to C-Lab, the Customer Education Lab, where we explore how to build customer education programs, experiment with new approaches, and exterminate the myths and bad advice like pests. They're pests, and we exterminate them. I'm Adam Evermescu, and I am so happy to be here today with Dan Ennis, Director of Customer Success at Workato. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Adam. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's great to have you on the show, and I'm really excited to talk to you about this mystical world of digital customer success, scale customer success. This is your bread and butter, and I think there's a lot that we can get into related to how that and the customer education and community and documentation and content worlds all intersect and overlap. But first, before we get too long in the tooth, is that's the phrase, right? Long in the tooth. I've been in Europe.
Long in the tooth, and it's pretty accurate for where I think you're going.
Yeah, this is what I was trying to tee up, and then I realized halfway through the sentence that I wasn't sure if I had the phrase right. So this is what happens when I don't live in the U.S. anymore. I just forget English phrases. So not to get too forgetful or too long in the tooth. Hey, Dan, happy National Senior Citizens Day.
Happy National Senior Citizens Day to you as well, Adam.
What should we do? Should we appreciate a senior citizen in our life?
I'm very game for that. Very game for that. Let's appreciate a senior citizen. And then if I had, you know, early dinner, we would also be doing an early dinner. But we'll do the appreciating a senior citizen.
All right. I'll see you at Luby's cafeteria.
Perfect. Sounds good. I'll see you there at 4:30.
I'll bring a Werther's original for you.
Perfect. Sounds great. I'll go. Yeah, I don't mind. I'll go first on appreciating a senior citizen in advance of the dinner. I think I'm going to have to shout out right now my biggest appreciation for my grandmother-in-law, my wife's grandma. She has been like the matriarch for her family for as long as I've known them. And I've, you know, my wife for, you know, upwards of 15 plus years now. And yeah, she is someone who has been always like Spitfire, like the rock for that family. And I know she recently, you know, not to get, you know, heavy, but recently, you know, with her husband having passed away earlier this year, reminding me again of just how strong of a woman she is, and someone who I cannot express enough appreciation for, that I hope when I'm an octogenarian myself that I've half the energy and, you know, just all the things that Joan brings to the table. So grateful for her. And she is, if I'm picking one senior citizen to shout out today, it's absolutely my grandmother-in-law.
Amazing. I feel like we should start more episodes with gratitude like this. It sets a nice tone. My dad is officially in discount movie theater passes thresholds now. And so I'm going to give him a shout out, and yeah, hopefully he can see a discount movie that he wants to see today.
I'm sure he loved hitting that milestone. So, you know, yeah, good on Mr. Evermescu.
He's been like confronting the aging process for a while. He's I think he's made his peace with it.
I love it.
But you know, like just crossing that threshold, you still got a lot in front of you.
I love it. Well, cool. I'm here for it.
So now There's no way to make this transition. I think we just have to dive right into it. Dan, the reason I wanted to talk to you today is in addition to just being a solid dude and someone who has really helped me, maybe for context, you know, in my work, we've been getting closer and closer into this world of digital customer success, scale customer experience. I think, you know, whatever combination of words you want to put together, they're all the roughly the same cluster of activities. And it's been an interesting journey for me personally, moving from having led more traditional customer education teams to having, you know, additional things in scope like documentation and help centers and communities and now even distribution channels, right? Like in-app email, all of these things. And, you know, it's brought me closer to not just doing what, you know, we used to call customer education, but now what we really call scale customer success or digital customer success. And this is a world that you've really been in and have a lot of experience in. So I thought it would be really helpful to talk today about what this world is and what you've been doing in it. And maybe we'll even do a little bit of, you know, compare and contrast, because I think we're seeing more movement like the one I just described, where people from education and community are coming into DCS. People from customer success are coming into education and community. So yeah, I think there's a lot for us to explore there.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that as digital customer success as a discipline matures, because I think you alluded to it, like it seems like it's an emerging category. There's a lot of kind of components that go into it, and we'll talk about that when we define it. But as it continues to mature as a practice, I think the overlap in that Venn diagram between digital customer success and some of those other disciplines you alluded to, knowledge-based support, customer experience, customer education, is only going to grow over time. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's okay. Like, I think that's good, because you'll hear me kind of talk about when we get into some of the definitions, a lot of it's not creating new things necessarily. It's more about what the focus is and how it's, mm-hmm. you know, driven there. So no, I couldn't agree more. And I think that there's going to be cross-pollination both directions in that as time goes on.
Yeah, but I think that's a helpful way to look at it, because when we think about where the fields are today and where they're going, maybe right now they can be described as a Venn diagram, even if we can say X number of years out, it's going to be more like a circle with a halo around it, you know?
Exactly. And I think that that's spot on. And I think that that's okay. And I think that it's funny, you'll hear, despite me being as into the digital customer success space as I am, like, I think that you'll notice, and this has come up in our private conversations before, I think, and I don't mind saying this, that I think I'm a little less like precious about the term. I think, like, in terms of like, it, this has to be this, because I care a lot more about what the actual business outcomes are for our customers than I do what we're calling the practice and who owns it, right? Because it's about what's being done for the customer, which is why over time that circle with the halo, I think, is spot on for how it's going to look.
Yeah, but you know, I'll take I guess this is just a related point of view. It's agreeing with you, but I think that's why it's also important for us to really make sure that we're being intellectually honest about what we're doing. So, you know, it's not enough, I think, for those of us who are doing education-y things today to say, oh, we run programs at scale and therefore we are digital customer success, and now we're like slapping the wrong label on the wrong thing. Versus exactly like you said, actually focusing on what are the outcomes that we need to drive, and how do we do that, or what are the intersections between the programs that we have today and where we would need to go to drive those outcomes, right? Which might mean adding new techniques. So I'm excited to get into this with you, but maybe before we even get into the definitions,
yep.
Maybe it would be helpful to learn a little bit about how you got into this world, because your background is in customer success, and you were working with Catalyst, and then most recently, before joining Workato, you were at Monday.com, right? And you're coming in through the customer success world into scale customer success.
Absolutely. So my whole career, without going into the whole background, it's filled with moments of doing something ad hoc in a role, then realizing that there's a formal discipline for that, and then me pivoting into that thing, right? That's how I got into customer success in the first place. I was doing it as an account manager. I was doing what was functionally customer success, realized there was an actual discipline called customer success, pivoted into that. And then in one of my customer success roles where it was a really unique business model where it was B2B, enterprise style contract management. So you had enterprise size contracts managing those relationships and how you manage the business side of it. However, because the contracts were being sold to insurance brokers and it was all of their end customers that were using it, it wasn't just volume of users, it was volume of separate companies that we had to get to adopt our product. So every one of my contracts actually represented, for example, potentially hundreds of end companies using our product because it was the insurance broker who bought from us giving us to their customer. So I began to have to apply scale and digital practices because there's no way I'm meeting with hundreds of companies and they don't want to come together because they're totally unrelated companies other than the fact that they have the same broker, right? So I had to apply digital and scale strategies. And then I learned that was a discipline. And so I came and built that more formally at monday.com. And then that's what led me over those last 4 years of building that there to where I'm at today doing a similar building that out at Workato.
And that's, I mean, that's really interesting, right? Because you've described in some ways two types of use cases where, you know, let's imagine a lot of people exactly are in that position you described, right? They're coming into this world that they don't know is called digital customer success, or they don't know that it's scale CX, but either the model is that you have a model where there's, you know, an infinite number of sub accounts, or you're at a disconnect from your true end user, or you're working with a channel partner model, right? I think that's maybe
exactly. Like
one flavor that requires extreme scale. And then the other flavor that requires extreme scale is probably more like what you were working with at Monday and I was working with when I was at Slack, which is where you have this super distributed group of end users and they may or may not be attached to accounts, or it's a land and expand product-led growth style model where you might not be coming in through these formal sales channels with a defined point of contact. So you really have to do things at scale because you never know at what point an individual user within an account is even doing anything, right?
That's exactly right. I think you hit the nail on the head. And that's where, again, the diversity of that background there for me has given me an appreciation for both sides of what can go into a digital scale motion, because there's so many opportunities to have to leverage that, I think. And whether it's the traditional kind of what I'm going to maybe call traditional now, in the sense that it's what more companies are doing, which is long tail PLG style, like you mentioned, SMB customers that you have to engage in some capacity, but you can't, candidly, just the unit economics have to work out. So you can't justify cost to serve by applying the same level of human attention to them. So you've got to figure out other ways to engage them, help them achieve their outcomes, or this channel partner model, like you mentioned, which is functionally, I think, what in some ways, though we were actually selling to true contracts with these customers we had, it did match a channel partner model in a lot of ways. I think that's spot on.
Yeah. I mean, like 10 years ago, I was trying to harp on this. I was saying customer education at its best is the scale engine of customer success, right? Because it's about being able to deliver outcomes at scale. But now literally there is there's an entire field dedicated to taking customer success practices and scaling them. So, like, I'm curious, maybe tell me about, you know, I don't know if it was a moment or a series of moments, but how did it click for you that there was this thing called scale customer success, or this thing called digital customer success? And then maybe we can go into, you know, your actual definition of it.
Yeah. So I would say for me, how I learned it was, I am a voracious learner. I think that's just my personality. I am very curious. I don't do anything. You know, you can ask anybody in my personal life. It's for better and for worse. I don't do anything with like one foot in. That's just not my personality. I either don't do something or I go all in on the thing I'm doing. And so that's just, like I said, gets me into trouble sometimes. But that's my personality. And so doing this, I wasn't content to just say, okay, I'm figuring this out on my own. And so as I researched strategies and other techniques to be able to get a engagement from these, again, hundreds of end diverse companies, it's upwards of 1,000 being represented by my handful of enterprise size contracts, how do I engage them? How do I help them achieve their goals? How do I do this at scale? I began to learn about this thing called scale and digital customer success. It wasn't called that back then, though. That's kind of the thing. This is back in, let's call it 2018, that I was doing this. I think you'd be hard pressed to find something that was formally called digital customer success. You absolutely saw the foundations of that practice, but I don't think it was called that. And so I don't know that I learned about it being called that, but I learned about the branch of customer success that wasn't just reliant on straight human one-to-one intervention. In the spirit of, like you said, not just slapping the same name on something. I don't think I read and saw the name and then said, oh, that's what this is. It was more, yeah. Oh, there's others who are trying to do this. That's a formal branch of this discipline, because a lot of the traditional customer success practices are so reliant on heavy human intervention that I just could not do. And so I wanted to know, how else can I reach these people with the tech we have? And it was where I learned that that is a whole branch of customer success that's being worked on. And that was what led to wanting to involve.
Are you struggling to effectively train both your customers and channel partners on your product? Well, NetExam is the all-in-one solution you need. As a leading customer and partner education platform, NetExam is purpose-built to help companies like yours deliver engaging, personalized training experiences that drive product adoption, customer success, and partner enablement. NetExam has worked for many years with companies that have the most advanced partner channels in the world, like Oracle, Dell, and Johnson & Johnson, with advanced features like customizable learning tracks, interactive content, robust analytics, and modern AI tools. NetExam empowers you to create seamless education programs that scale with your business for both your customers and your valuable channel partners. Stop wasting time and resources on ineffective training methods. Partner with NetExam and unlock the power of comprehensive customer and partner education to grow your business. Visit netexam.com to learn more today.
Yeah, and at the time, you're absolutely right. Like there wasn't necessarily a whole field called digital customer success. There weren't communities for digital customer success, but certainly at the time, you know, for any company that was in the situation that we just described, either of those two flavors, you had some team within customer success who was either, maybe they were called the scale segment, maybe they were called the SMB segment, and they had to rely on a different set of practices than either, you know, like a key accounts team or an enterprise customer success team. So now it's a field though, and has some definition. Like how would you define it? What is digital customer success, and what's it meant to do for the business?
Absolutely. So I'll lead with in this definition, and as I kind of think about it, it is. I'm going to be intentional with leading with something that might sound generally customer success before get, you know, the specifics that lead to digital. And I think that that's intentional because that's what differentiates it from what you've alluded to earlier, the overlap on the Venn diagram with, say, customer education and these other ones. So it is like classic customer success. It is to improve customer outcomes, leading to improved retention and increased adoption and growth for customers by leveraging digital-led programs. I think that's really simple. I try to keep it focused on that. And that's broad because I think it can go broad. But again, it's improving customer outcomes, leading to improved retention, increased adoption, and customer growth, leveraging digital-led programs. That's it, I think.
That's a really good one. So, and actually, like I have a similar concept in my head when I'm trying to describe what DCS or scale CS or scale CX, whatever you want to call it, right? It's almost like an equation where you're trying to maximize the ratio of key customer outcomes delivered, where customer outcomes are defined as everything that you just described, relative to the amount of human touch, human resources put into it, right? So de facto then, that leads you to lean more heavily on these digital-led programs that you're describing. So
absolutely. And I think that that's where when you talk, you know, in my mind, I differentiate between the, you know, digital and scale. Their overlap is scale incorporates the digital, where scale is what I would include the human component, like you said, because these customers likely aren't getting no human interaction, no human intervention. It's just more pointed, directed, and on specific areas, given the nature of it being accompanied by these digital-led programs as well.
Yeah, I think that's a really helpful distinction as well to think about, because, right, you might have like scale CSMs who have, you know, I don't know, like 2,000 accounts in their book of business, depending on the, I guess, the size of the portfolio. So they're not going to have time to reach out individually to everyone, but they can run programs at scale, or they can intervene for based on some key criteria. But then there's all these digital-led programs to support them so that they can manage that outrageous book of business.
Exactly right. That's exactly right. You hit the nail on the head. And I think that that's where, and maybe I'm jumping a little ahead in our conversation, but that's where when you think of like how the difference and relationship plays with, say, for example, customer education, where customer education, from kind of my perspective, and you being the CE guy, you know, you will happily correct what I'm about to say, I think, but is the development of the content and the consumption of the content. Whereas on the digital customer success side, where like the mandate comes in is keeping that focus squarely on the long-term goals of customer success, which is improved customer outcomes, right? And then which leads to all the company benefits of retention, growth, adoption, all those things. And you can see why that overlaps with the customer education, because a lot of times you'll be leveraging the content that customer education teams have created. And it's surfacing the right content to the right people at the right time, for example, to maximize the customer outcomes, right? So that's how, at my current role at Workato, that's how we relate to customer education is, we've got an incredible team that creates that. I'm grateful that that's not under my purview. We don't have to create that, because the stuff they do is phenomenal. But what we do is work to ensure that the incredible content our customer education teams are creating is surfaced to the right people at the right time to maximize those outcomes. Because we're thinking like a CS mindset of that's what we want to do.
Yeah. And actually, I realized, like, we were talking about your history, but we... you know, maybe just to set some context too for the programs that you're going to talk about, we need to talk about what Workato does. Workato is it's iPaaS, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the that's the bread and butter background of it, but it's really overall enterprise orchestration of all of the automation of a business that can go on to that, and really empowering companies to enter into like a really agentic AI future. I think as they find ways to just automate the things that people shouldn't be spending their time on so that businesses can leverage their human capital in the best possible way.
Yeah. And the more that everything is connected and built out and increasingly able to interface with one another without, you know, well, I guess with humans in the loop and eventually without humans in the loop, then that saves human time for the more important things that actually require us.
Absolutely.
Welcome back to C-Lab. I am here with Dan Ennis, and we are talking about digital customer success. So we're picking up a thread of the conversation from earlier where we talked about part of the definition of digital customer success being that it's done primarily through digital-led programs is the way that you described it. So I'd love to learn a little bit about that. When we say digital-led programs, what types of programs are we talking about? What's typical?
Yeah, the programs I would say are, it's a really all-encompassing umbrella term, and I appreciate that you're asking about that. So think the idea of a digital program is to surface the right content to the right persona at the right time. So that's the umbrella of what goes into the programs. So there are kind of both the proactive programs as well as what are the more reactive programs that are more trigger-based, right? So a proactive program would be running an email series or in-app series, depending on which channel makes the most sense, that targets a particular customer persona. And I don't mean persona as in the way we think about it through like the sales lens of that kind of persona. I mean persona as in their role in their company. So you're bringing content that's relevant to them. So think through something that is a value add to someone that you are proactively sending to them via email to help them up-level their maturity and use case proactively with your product. So that's one example. And then a more reactive digital program would be something that is triggered based on a customer's behavior. What are they doing or not doing? And then that reactive can be both positive or negative. If they express a positive intent towards growth, you can send, again, either in-app or via email, whichever channel makes most sense for persona and content, information on things that will help them continue down that path of growth. Or on the negative side, if they're missing milestones, if they're dropping off, you want to re-engage them that way. And so you think about it in the trigger-based programs, that can also be something that's done either automatically, depending on how you have that set up, or that's flagged to a person to say, yes, initiate this or not. So that's kind of a little bit broad, but I would say it encompasses what people are thinking of. So think through what are the meetings. If you were having people meet with these customers, what would you be trying to get them to do? Now, how would you get them to take those actions without a person? Like, that's how to think through what those programs look like for your product. And I think that that's why you're hearing me maybe speak a little more broadly, is because it does, despite our desire to see all of these like really standardized matrices on what this looks like, it does depend. It does look different from one org to the next. So think through, what are you having your teams do when you're having a person meeting with a customer? And that is a good way to think through, okay, now if that person wasn't there, how would you achieve that same goal? How would you get the customer to take those actions? So that would be how I would think about the program side.
Yeah, I really like that distinction as well in terms of proactive and reactive, and then being able to think about it in terms of channels and persona, because that really does get to the right person at the right time, the right message to the right person at the right time, right? So I mean, it's like, I think about this too. You describe trigger-based as reactive, right? Because we have to be detecting that they did or didn't do something. So reactive isn't bad. Reactive just means we observe something and we're going to use that as a cue to reach out to them. Whereas proactive might also be something like, hey, you know, we know that 30 days after implementation, the average customer probably needs to hear this, right? If they're this persona, this is a useful thing for them to do that has been shown to increase adoption. Or 30 days before renewal, we want to communicate this to them. But then all the reactive stuff can be layered on top of it that makes it ultimately more personal and relevant to what they're doing. It's not, we're not just like guessing anymore.
That's exactly right. And I think that that reactive, and it's something that I know can be such a dirty word in the customer success space when you hear about, oh, a customer success team is having to be reactive. And that's why I think that we need to reclaim a little that it's okay that there's an element of reacting to what the customer's doing. Yes, we are proactive in the sense of we're building something to engage the customer, and we're not just being caught on our, you know, on our back foot the whole time. However, we want to be reacting to what's going on with the customer. They want to be reacted to what they're actually doing in real time. They're not a robot. They want things that are relevant to them. And relevant can mean it's reacting to what they have done, to actions they are showing. And I think that that's, you know, spot on right there with that. And so it feels like a proactive reactive to them, right? The customer feels it because they're getting something without saying, hey, someone help me. So it feels proactive, but it's reactive in the sense that we're reading their intent. We've read, okay, this is what they want to do. And this is where why, and you can hear as I've talked about surfacing right content to the right person at the right time, and that overlap, you can see why this now overlaps so much with product, with customer marketing, with customer education, and why, again, because the end result is what we care about, I'm a lot less dogmatic about where I think it has to live. As long as the customer success outcomes are what are being aimed for, and it's not, for example, just classic old school, like customer education of just building something to build it and say we've done it. Whereas I'm really appreciative of customer education leaders like yourself, I think it's Christine Kukic, who's also a customer education leader, who is that kind of the newer mindset of customer education doesn't exist to exist for its own sake. It exists to help customers. In that case, I don't care whether that like lives within digital customer success or not, right? As long as that's the outcome being done, that's what matters.
That's a really interesting point too, because I think about this. There are a lot of similar motions at companies, right? There's product-led growth, which typically comes out of a product team and is also about making sure that, you know, the right information is being surfaced ultimately to drive certain outcomes, whether that's conversion or expansion or retention or cross sell or, you know, whatever you want to throw in the mix there, growth. There's customer lifecycle marketing, which is also typically going to be about delivering certain messages based on where the customer is in their lifecycle. There's digital customer success. Like, how, I mean, I'm sure it's a little bit different for every company, but like, do you see a way that those pieces generally fit together, or is it different for everyone?
Yeah, I think it's, they eventually, I think, start to look similar, but they start looking different for everyone. And I almost never recommend, hey, go create a digital CS function. And it starts with, typically, the journey that I've most often seen is some form of what companies will tend to call scale customer success, which incorporates the human side. Hey, we've got these customers mm-hmm. we can't do as much for. We need to augment. Someone needs to own figuring that out. What is the... Yeah,
we need to do like group office hours.
Exactly. That, and figure out something between those to get these customers engaged. So you'll start there. And that team will then interact with and interface with all these other teams, customer lifecycle marketing, which again, depending on the company's maturity, might not have a full lifecycle marketing. They might have marketing that's only focused on, you know, new business, for example. Great. So then that's where you'll start. Maybe you don't have a full-on dedicated customer education team. Great. So you'll start doing some ad hoc customer education. And so it starts, candidly from my experience, with a little bit of gap filling. Like, okay, great. What is not being done today at my org? Because there's typically, like you said, some teams are doing a lot of the overlapping functions. And then as it matures, it still lives within, you know, the customer success space, because it's ensuring that mindset is what's being done, is that it's tying towards customer goals, but it's taking on an increased consultative role with these other teams to help inform mm-hmm. as well as be informed by, okay, great, this is what you're doing. This lives within what the lifecycle marketing purview is. Here's something that's a gap that's missing, that's purely adoption focused, that marketing isn't necessarily going to focus on. Great. So I will focus on that. And we will do that. And if nothing else, I'll make sure that I'm aware of the calendar of what marketing's sending so that we can ensure that we're not bombarding customers with what feels like then spam, getting too many emails around too many things. And so it really, the most common way it starts is as an extension of that scale motion and filling what gaps the company isn't already doing, because it's likely already doing something, some of those components. Yeah.
If you want to grow your business, you need to educate and engage your customers at every point of the funnel. So Thinkific Plus can help you do just that with their powerful learning platform that's so easy to use. Thinkific Plus believes that customer education can combat the common challenges of recurring revenue, like churn. So Thinkific Plus has created a purpose-built platform for agile teams that allows you to create impactful educational experiences for your customers. That means you can find new ways to engage with them. You can drive adoption, renewals, expansion, and growth, everything that a business cares about. So reimagine education for your customers' success with Thinkific Plus. You can get 1 month of Thinkific Plus for free with our special code. Go to thinkific.com/CELABS. That's thinkific.com/CLABS.
Yeah, so it's building on top of those in many cases. But to your point, the main point is that the goals of customer success have to be achieved without that human in the mix, right? Or maybe there's the scale CSM, but again, like, they're not going to be a human that's ever present in the way that a dedicated enterprise CSM would be.
That's
when you
exactly
talk about
right.
those goals, right? You talked about adoption, you talked about retention. Like, what are the goals and metrics that are common for digital CS teams?
Yeah. End of the day. So this is where I get passionate, because I love data. So data is what drives the goals there. And so you think through the leading and lagging indicators, right? So end of the day, your digital CS motion has the same lagging North Star indicators as the rest of customer success. And that's one of the, like I said, the key piece there is that it's your long-term goals are the retention and growth. However, due to how lagging that is, and especially in a digital motion, you then need to go to those leading indicators that are similar to what the customer success team might be looking at. Again, think through things like adoption, customer outcomes being achieved, which falls into that. And then from there, you go into what are the leading indicators to those leading indicators? What are the actions that we know they take that indicate they're likely going to be improving their adoption? They're going to be more bought in with the product. And so then from there, you also incorporate an element of like putting on your performance marketing hat, because then you have to also look at the performance metrics of what you're doing. So for example, if you're running an email style campaign, like you said, let's use that post onboarding one, like you mentioned, surfacing something 30 days post onboarding, because we think it's going to lead to improved retention, because it's going to cause them to adopt this one particular sticky feature that they have to be at least a little on board for. And then you find your adoptions, your retention's not improving. It's easy to say this email is not working, but you have to do the work. You have to understand, are people opening the email? Okay. Are they clicking what's within the email? Again, open and click through rates is really basic, but you don't often think about that with a CS mindset. From performance metrics,
That's a marketing thing.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. It's where the overlap is. Okay, great. So it's performing well. Okay, so now that tells us we're not surfacing the right content. If it's performing well from that perspective, but it's not persuading them to change their behavior, now we know to change that. But if we then find out it's not even being clicked on, ooh, we've got a problem with what we're, like our copy in the email. Okay, we're maybe sending it to the wrong person, or we're not highlighting why this matters. Maybe you find out it's not even being opened. Again, same thing. Now you know you've got maybe a subject line problem. Maybe you've got an audience problem. And that helps you understand where to iterate. So you've got to measure those like performance metrics, then the leading indicators to the leading indicators to the lagging indicator.
Okay, this is really fascinating. And it's also starting to draw out, I think, you know, what you alluded to earlier, because there's this, again, like as we talk about the Venn diagram turning into the circle with the aura around it, increasingly, we're in this world where customer education, community, help center, documentation, all of these are coming together under one leader into one org, right? Because they're all fairly related. And sometimes that team is called community, and sometimes that team is called customer education, and sometimes it's called something completely different. And often they're even starting to get a little bit closer to some of the things that you described, where you might have in-app in your remit, right? You might be able to deliver messaging in-app, whether that's for contextual help or to do in-app tutorials or things like that. You might even have the ability to email your customers and get in contact with them. And you might be tempted to then say, well, hey, if I own all of that, then I'm doing digital customer success. But actually, based on what you just described, there's some key differences, right? Because you're talking more about trigger-based targeting. You're talking more about really evaluating the performance of these campaigns in driving some of those key outcomes. So I'd love to hear more about that. Like when you really think about the similarities and differences between, I guess, digital customer success and some of these other things that also drive outcomes at scale, also deal with behavior change. I guess what is and isn't, where do we draw the line?
And I think that that's where in this whole space where we're inventing it as we go, all of us are. I mean, like everything in SaaS, everybody's building as we go. And as these different functions evolve, I don't think we have to draw a line. As long as there's clarity on who owns something internally, I think that is what matters more than where we draw the line and who gets to claim what terms, if I'm being honest. Like that's how I think about it. And so from my perspective, for example, when you're designing customer success, let's take even the digital side out of it, and you're taking your activities to understand how you can drive customer outcomes, you kind of think through three questions, right? You think through, are we doing the activity? Are we doing the activity well? Is that activity done well leading to the outcome we think it should, right? Like whether that's EBRs, whether that's cadence calls, fill in the blank. If you're in customer success, like you're thinking through those kind of lenses with your activity. Are you doing it in the first place? Are you doing it well? And is it when done well, does it lead to the outcome we think it should? Digital CS, you're asking the same thing about different activities. That's how I look at it there. And if somebody else in the org is already owning some of that, you might, and this might sound controversial, like you might not need a separate digital CS function. If your customer education team is being as proactive and forward thinking as for example, your team is, you don't necessarily need to create a function that's totally separate for it. If, as long as you've got somebody that is owning, thinking through that from the lens of customer outcomes and being able to inform what that team is doing. So maybe rather than create a separate digital function, right, you've got a great relationship between your customer success leader and the customer education team, where the customer education team is owning delivery and creation of the content. And the customer success leader is saying, hey, we're hearing from our teams that this is an outcome that our customers aren't achieving, and we would rather have this. You don't need to create a digital CS function that's then doing that. If you've got a proactive customer education team like yours that's doing that, that has remit to in-app, like you said, that's got remit to these different email-based ways to engage customers, then as long as that relationship's there and being informed by the North Star of customer outcomes, which leads to retention, growth, all the good things that we want as a company, then that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's controversial. I don't know, but I agree with you. I like that lens. And I really want to draw out you said the word ownership. And I think that to me is probably the key distinction. It's like, you can have all those surfaces, you can be running all those types of programs, but when are you actually doing digital customer success? Probably when you're doing them because you own those outcomes and you're accountable to those outcomes. Then what you're doing is digital customer success.
Exactly. Like, I would say there's a problem if a customer education team isn't leading towards those outcomes, right? But that doesn't mean you own those outcomes. And that's, like you said, I think that's the core distinction, which is why when I gave my definition, I lead with like the classic bread and butter CS ownership, because that's what differentiates.
Okay, so we're there. We're at the fireworks factory. And so before we wrap up, maybe we'll end on a note of, I guess, positive collaboration, right? Because it might be that customer education and DCS are one within an organization. It's more likely that they are two teams working side by side or with some collaboration. So, you know, let's say to our customer education audience, to our community audience out there who are working at companies who are making that investment in digital customer success, what are some ways that you would say that these teams can start working together to collaborate in a productive way?
Love that. Because yeah, this is where I think the magic happens, because I honestly think that's going to be the key to long-term success here. Because if a digital CS team tries to own the other components, like tries to own the creation of customer education and all of that, it's generally not as good, because customer education professionals are darn good at their job. I recommend you set up a recurring touch base to understand, are customers achieving the outcomes that you want your education programs to achieve? Because what customer success teams have, what a digital CS team has, is a more direct line to the customer directly, typically speaking, than an education team has. An education team is typically creating for the customer without interfacing directly with the customer in a traditional kind of setup here.
Yep.
And that's where the digital CS team can highlight, this is achieving what we want it to achieve. This is accomplishing the outcome that we hope it would achieve. Or here are gaps in our outcomes. So finding ways to do that, I think, is number one. And then secondly, creating a mechanism to understand the quality and feedback from the customer success perspective about the actual education that exists already. So is this something that is targeting the right level of persona? Is this something that we're hearing feedback from customers that is leading to stronger outcomes? Is there a better channel that we can deliver this in? And I think that that's even something where education can include the digital CS teams in their planning. Hey, here's what we're looking to build. Does this resonate with what you're seeing from customers? This is what we want to build, and giving them a heads up so that a digital CS team can then even begin planning a way to drive engagement around that. Begin planning. Fantastic. If you're building a new course that's for a new persona that we're targeting, fantastic. We can plan some and spin up some digital programs that will highlight this new course for the relevant personas. And I think that that's one of the core pieces there, is the bi-directional feedback happening regularly and normalized and allowing each other, when you think of a RACI model, like to be informed of each other and potentially even moving upstream to consult it, I think. And that's where you're kind of doing that. And it's as stereotypical as this sounds, it's just breaking down the silos and making that a regular thing that happens there, because digital CS done well leads to positive results for customer education because it's more content being consumed, leading to better outcomes, and vice versa. Where when customer education is creating the right content for the right persona, digital CS isn't having to ad hoc create things that they're not fantastic at creating. They're able to surface great content to the right people.
Yeah, and then you throw the customer community in the mix as well. If your company has that, and they're also talking directly to customers, but it might be different personas at a different time, and it's many to many at that point. So I think breaking down all of those silos together, you really do end up creating a great set of scalable programs that ultimately can drive those outcomes.
So Dan, absolutely.
Thank you so much. I've learned a ton from you today, and I'm sure our listeners have as well. If people want to find you, where should they find you?
Yeah, best place to find me right now currently would just be LinkedIn. Please feel free to reach out, connect. I would love to chat with anybody. I think it's something I'm passionate about is learning myself as well as helping others level up in their practice as well. So feel free to connect on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Well, you're going to get some LinkedIn requests. Maybe we should shout out the DCS Connect community as well, run by Marie Lunny. That's a community where a lot of digital customer success people come together.
Cannot speak highly enough about that community. Absolutely.
Amazing. And listeners, if you want to learn more, we also have a podcast website at customer.education. You can find show notes, other materials. We'll pop in those resources. We have a customer education community where you can connect with, learn from, and share your ideas with your peers and leaders who are making a difference. Thank you to Alan Coda for our theme music. And of course, please go wherever you are listening to this podcast. If you're on Spotify will let you give 5 stars to the podcast. If you're on Apple Podcasts lets you do it. Literally, if you have the app open right now, would love if you could go click 5 stars on whatever app you are currently listening to this podcast on. And to our audience, thanks for joining us. Go out and educate, experiment, and find your people. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Adam. It's great to be here.